Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost falls 50 days after Easter. So the Ascension, 40 days after, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after, and that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was a great blessing to every believer, and God wants us to know that we have that same blessing too. Let's realize it. Let's make use of the Holy Spirit. Let's be open to let the Holy Spirit use us however He desires to use us. What we're going to do today is take a look at the gospel reading, then we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2, which does focus us right in on the day of Pentecost. I want to make a few comments as we go down through here. Coming to the gospel reading, we're in John chapter 14. Jesus and his disciples, they're in the upper room. So they finished eating the Passover meal. They're yet in the upper room. Jesus is saying a number of very important things to his disciples. Keep in mind, they've been together for 3.5 years, and now their time is coming right to an end, as Jesus will soon be arrested and crucified and so on. So he's going to share some important things with them. So these are important things for us as well. In the first part here, we see the importance of loving Jesus. So the Bible says, picking up in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to Judas. Now, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas. Jesus said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So we can see on this topic of love, it's really a pivotal thing. When we love Jesus, that's showing that we are in Christ. When we don't love Jesus, it's really showing that we are not in Christ. We know the phrase, actions speak louder than words. So we're getting at something that is more than just saying something. Love is an action. Love is showing something in a tangible way. Thinking about what it said there, let's understand that when we look at ourselves properly, we have a great need. So what happened? God the Father sent his Son, and he did absolutely everything. He gave up everything. He gave up the glory of heaven. He confined himself to a human body. He lived that perfect life. He took our sins. I mean, he just did absolutely everything. So when we really begin to think about it and realize, oh my goodness, I'm in such great need. I'm completely helpless. There's nothing I can do. And then we realize, oh my goodness, God's Son, he has come and done absolutely everything for me. This is such a life changer, such an eternity changer, that how could I not respond back to him with love? That's what we're getting at here in this situation. So what does that mean that we keep Jesus' word? That means to keep what he taught. And what does it mean that we keep it? Well, it means to accept it. So whatever he says, no matter how far out it is, we accept it. We believe that it is true. We cherish it because we know it is such an important thing. And then what do we do with it? We understand what it says. And then we try to live it out in our lives. That's what it means to show our love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Kretzmann wrote, the keeping of the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is an evidence and a proof of our faith. So again, faith isn't just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, but when we believe in him, we love him, and when we love him, we keep his teaching, and that's something that shows in our lives. However, we're falling short of that, because certainly all of us are falling short in some way. May God help us to see that. May God make us sorry. May God cause us to repent. And may God help us to go forward, kind of like putting the battery on the drill. Now we're going to go forward with this energy, with this power, with this great enthusiasm to live for Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Going further in the reading here, we have Jesus talking to his disciples, and they're looking ahead to the day of Pentecost. They're looking ahead to today. Jesus said to them, "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you during my ministry. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Can you imagine sometimes the disciples are like, "Dear Jesus, how are we ever going to remember all these different things you've been teaching us?" But he's saying, "Hey guys, I've got this one. Don't worry. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to take care of that whole thing." What about with us? When we're talking with someone else about Jesus, we can rely upon the Holy Spirit to use us in order to share the words he wants us to share. So we should stop trusting in us. We should begin trusting more in God. And then Jesus talks about giving this wonderful gift to his disciples, and we have that same gift too. Jesus said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Now, peace is a wonderful thing. Can you imagine how much the people in Ukraine would like peace? They would like the end of the war. They would like Russia to get out of their country. They'd like to go back to living in peace, being able to sleep in their own beds at night and not have to worry about a missile striking their home. So that is a wonderful kind of peace, but there's actually even a more important kind of peace. So what Jesus was talking about is the kind of peace which Jesus was about to earn for his disciples, for you and me, and even for everyone through his suffering and dying on the cross. And what kind of peace is even more important than having peace between two nations? That would be the peace that Jesus won between us who are poor, miserable sinners and God who is holy in every way. And how can that peace be earned? Only by the shedding of the precious blood of the Son of God. So Jesus was telling them, "Hey guys, I know you're concerned about your sins, but you don't have to worry because I'm about ready to take care of the entire thing. I'm about ready to provide you with perfect peace." What does God want us to do as we live every day? Sure, we're falling into sin. We feel bad about it. But let's remember how much God loves us. Let's remember what Jesus did. Let us always remember and rejoice that through him, there is perfect peace between God our Father in heaven and us here on earth. And then Jesus begins to tell them how he must go away. So he's been with them all this time, but now he must go away. He said to them, "You heard that I said to you, I go away, that is to my Father in heaven, and I will come to you when I return at the end of the age. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I," maybe Jesus could have added, "greater than I in my present form. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." We see that type of thing occur thousands of times in the Bible. So over and over, God says, "This will happen." And then thousands of times, just as God said, it happened. Now think about when Jesus is saying what's going on here. So he's saying it, and now he's ready to go to the cross. The disciples don't really understand that. But can you imagine when Jesus was arrested and all he went through with the crucifixion? They're probably thinking, this is going to be completely horrible for Jesus. But he wanted them to know, "Hey guys, I made you a promise, and that promise is going to come true. And no matter how bad things look right now, it's going to be okay." That's what we need to keep in mind too. Life can be like really tough sometimes, and we're like, "Dear God, where are you? How could this possibly be of you?" But God wants us to know he loves us, he is in control, and he's going to carry us through whatever. That's what Jesus wanted his disciples to know when he was doing the grueling work of the cross. And then finally, he lets them know that their time together is ending. Jesus said to them, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. So all the things Jesus did, that was always the will of the Father. All the things he spoke, those were always the words of the Father. And he was willing to do whatever the Father said, even permitting himself to be arrested, to be crucified, and all that is included in that work. How does God want us to be? He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to be wide open and say, Dear Father in heaven, dear Lord Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, here I am. You have made me. You have sustained me. You have saved me. So I want you to grab a hold of me, and I want you to do with me whatever you want me to do. That was the attitude of Jesus. God wants us to have that same attitude, and let's know God has a plan for each one of us. God wants to execute that plan in our lives. He's not going to force us, but when we are open to his way, it's going to be an awesome thing. It's going to be a great thing for us, and God's going to use us to be a great blessing to others. Finally, at the end of all that, Jesus said, Get up, let us go from here. And that is ending then their time in the upper room. I was just thinking, you know, we're blessed in the world. We have such great battery technology. So a battery lasts a long time. However, though, if I keep using and using this tool, eventually the battery needs a recharge. So what about us then? Here we are. I said we have the Holy Spirit, but how do we get a recharge though? Well, I want you to know that every time we have contact with the Word of God, that's like plugging in and getting a recharge. So right now, you're getting charged up. When you come down the hall for Bible class, you're getting charged up. When you spend time in the Word of God during the week, you're getting charged up. So it's frustrating if you try to use the tool and the battery is dead. Or if we try to live our lives in Christ with a dead battery, that's not going to be a good thing. So let's make sure that we are plugging into the charger on a regular basis and always having the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Going on to our next reading here, we're in Acts chapter 2, the classic place in the Bible to go on the day of Pentecost. So on the day of Pentecost, we think about Good Friday, and then we add a few days, and we come to Easter Sunday. We add 40 more days. We come to the Day of Ascension, and now we're out 53 days from Good Friday, and we are at the day of Pentecost. So the Bible says here, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. I believe that is each one of the 12, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So let's think about the situation they're going on in Jerusalem. So the Bible is telling us that there are a lot of people living in Jerusalem at that time, but they were not born in Jerusalem. They were born in all these other places, and when they were born in the other places, those are places that spoke a different language in comparison to in Jerusalem. So they grew up with one language. We might call that their native tongue. That's probably the language they were most familiar with. But when they came to Jerusalem, then they began to speak probably Aramaic. So that's what everyone was speaking. They could communicate with everyone. But still, though, that first language, that was their better language. They had more understanding with that first language. So the Bible says here, Now there were living in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were confused because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own first language. they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born?" Now, Galileans, they weren't known to be the most intelligent people. So it was probably kind of a shocker to hear them speaking other languages. But then, though, imagine having someone from a faraway place. Basically, no one is speaking that language except the people living in that faraway place. And now, here's this Galilean, and he's fluent in that language, and he's speaking so that people can hear these mighty, important things of God in their very first language. It was a miracle that God was working out. And then, thinking about all those different places where people had moved from, now we have the listing in the Bible. It says the people included Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues speaking the mighty deeds of God. Sometimes I've visited some of our members over the years, and they grew up in Europe, and now here they are in America. And they know the language better in Europe than they do here in America. And then I'm feeling kind of bad because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, if only I could speak the language that they grew up with, I could communicate the Bible to them in a better way, and I just can't do it. But God granted, though, that great blessing for the people on the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem. And then the Bible goes on and says, "And they all continued in amazement and at a loss to understand, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others were mocking and saying, 'They are full of sweet wine.'" Well, that was an explanation someone thought up, but that doesn't work, does it? Like, if I drank a lot of sweet wine, do you think I could speak the languages of Europe? I'm pretty sure that won't work. So that excuse is not a valid one here. However, though, it's interesting that they said, "What does this mean?" So God was up to something. Like, we don't know what, they didn't know what he was up to exactly, but they knew that God was up to something. Certainly, this here was a God thing. God was up to something. So let's pay attention in life. Sometimes God is up to something, so God wants us to see it. He wants us to ask, what does it mean? He wants us to go to him in prayer and say, what does this mean? He wants us to dig into the Bible, and God will show us. But then Peter, though, explains what was going on. The Bible says, "Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day." That means it's 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel." So the reading here concludes with this prophecy from Joel. I'm putting it into two different parts. First of all, the prophecy of Joel is focusing on the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and what resulted from the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Here's the prophecy. "It shall be in the last days," so we're talking here between the ascension of Jesus and the return of Jesus. "So it shall be in the last days that I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." What does it mean to prophesy? It simply means to speak the word of God. So it's not talking about predicting the future. It's talking about simply speaking the word of God. "So your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So let's think about a couple things here. So regarding all believers, we have the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we're not in Christ. When we are in Christ, we definitely have the Spirit. And then what should we do? We should grow up in the Word of God. That is how we recharge, if you will, by being in the Word of God. Think about with your car, you have to go to the gas station from time to time. Kind of hurts a little bit when we go, but it's a necessary thing, or you can't drive your car. Sometimes it might be inconvenient to come to church. It might hurt a little bit. Oh, I was hoping to do this, and now I guess I got to go to church. But it's an important thing, though. God wants us to make that a priority, so we should grow in God's Word, and then we should keep speaking the Word of God. In order for us to speak the Word of God, we have to know the Word of God, and when we speak the Word of God, that's going to be a blessing to someone else. Let me share this passage with you. We've gone over it before somewhat recently, but it's such an important one. So the Lord said to Joshua, keep in mind now Joshua is just taking over for Moses. He's got a huge responsibility, and the Lord says to him, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So he's talking really about the first five books of the Bible, but we can really apply it to the whole Bible today, I think, in a proper way. So he's saying, the Lord is saying to Joshua, don't stop speaking the Word of God. Keep speaking that Word of God. So in order for Joshua to do that, Joshua has to know it, and then he's going to use the right Word of God at the right times to be a blessing to others. So keep speaking that Word of God. And then he tells him that you should meditate on the Word of God day and night. So the idea is to read it, even to memorize it, and then to think on it, and then say, oh, okay, Lord, I understand this verse now, but oh, wait a minute, how does that apply to this verse? How do they fit together? Now, what about this other one over here? But the more we think about it, what God will do is he will open our hearts and minds more and more to understand the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing when he does that, but then he says, though, meditate on it. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So it's never the idea just to hear the Word of God. It's never the idea just to know the Word of God, but the idea is to put the Word of God into practice. And then God is like a cheerleader here. God is giving us some encouragement. We might say, Lord, I've got a busy life. I don't have time to really get into your Word. I don't have time to put it into practice. That's not important for me. Well, what does God do then? Throws out a couple things at the end, and he says, by the way, if you do it, I'm going to make you prosperous, and I'm going to give you success in everything. So then we're like, oh, that sounds like some good stuff, prosperity and success. Maybe I will make that more of a priority, because I certainly want the prosperity. I certainly want the success. God has it all worked out in that verse. What would be a great way to begin for anyone who hasn't done it already? Memorize that verse, and God will use that in a powerful way in your life, Joshua 1:8. And then, coming to the final part of the prophecy here in the book of Joel, it says, I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you think about the whole prophecy from Joel, we have the first part where the Spirit is being poured out during the entire New Testament era. And the people who are in Christ, what are they doing? They are speaking that Word of God. And what does God want to happen? He wants everyone in the world who does not yet know Jesus to hear that Word of God. He wants them to be impressed with the truth of God, and he wants them to be called to repent, and he wants everyone to believe. So now is the opportunity. God wants to use you and me in order to get that truth to the world, because the day of our Lord Jesus Christ is coming, maybe even soon, when he will return, and that will be the end of opportunity to receive him. So Right now is the time. Speak God's truth. Call people to repent, and then Jesus will return. So we have a mission in life. Know the Word of God better. Keep getting recharged. Speak that Word of God in our daily lives, and that will be an exciting way to live between now and the end of our lives, or now in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you we can call upon you in prayer, the third person of the Holy Trinity. We pray that you would fill us. We pray that you would cause us to love the Bible, make it such a priority in our daily lives. Cause us also to grow up in Jesus, understanding what he said better, being super close to him, being sensitive to his will for our lives, and then help us to live day by day, living for Christ, speaking his words, and calling others to repent and believe so that we can live in a serious way, we can live in a way that is honoring to you, we can live in a way that is useful in you using us to make a difference in the lives of others, and then help us to look forward to the great celebration to come when we are finally with you forever in Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Would you please arise?